Good morning and happy vernality. My name is Michael McCusker. Welcome to the final day of KMUN's 2018 Spring Pledge Drive. I begin today's program with Dr. Robert Brake of Ocean Beach, Washington, The Fear Factor. My grade school teachers told me I could avoid harm from nuclear weapons by putting my coat over my head or hiding under my desk. Not the soundest advice to address my fear, but I heeded it. Later in life, I experienced the usual fears, loss of a job, failure, hunger, relationship problems, becoming not eating broke, among others. Committed to lifelong learning, I then witnessed the dumbing down of America and embrace Isaac Asimov's belief that there's a cult of ignorance and a strain of anti-intellectualism constantly winding its way through our political and cultural life, nurtured by a false notion that democracy means that my ignorance is just as good as your knowledge. We are living in very dangerous times. Never have so many people had so much access to so much knowledge and yet been so resistant to learning anything. Otherwise, intelligent people disparage intellectual achievement and reject the advice of experts. Increasing numbers of lay people lack basic knowledge, reject fundamental rules of evidence, and refuse to learn how to make a logical argument, throwing away centuries of accumulated knowledge and undermining the practices and habits that allow us to develop new knowledge. I am noticing more and more politicians and pundits succumbing to willful ignorance and fear. And aside from bold new projects like Elon Musk's February 6th Falcon 9 launch and the Parkland, Florida teenagers addressing truth to power about gun control, I notice very few bold, exciting new ideas. Meanwhile, more and more Americans fear facts, science, the NRA, terrorism, illegal immigrants, and Muslims, along with sharks, zombies, bodily aches, and pains and death. Fear shuts down the prefrontal cortex, leading to anxiety, narrowed vision, shrinkage of the big picture, and a tendency to react, not think. Fear makes us smaller and simpler, and that is dangerous, considering the plethora of serious issues facing Americans: nuclear war, economic downturn, constitutional crises, and more. Meanwhile, profiteers like Big Pharma, insurance companies, and militant advocacy groups continue to exploit our fears, relying on what filmmaker Michael Moore calls the American equation. Dumb down the population and make them ignorant and stupid. Their ignorance leads to fear. Fear leads to hate, and hate leads to violence. And that's a quote from Michael Moore. Lester B. Pearson, Canadian scholar and statesman and winner of the 1957 Nobel Peace Prize, summed it up well for me. Misunderstanding arising from ignorance breeds fear, and fear remains the greatest enemy of peace. And that's Lester Pearson. Actor and environmentalist Edward Albert echoed that opinion, going a step further. Fear is the only true enemy, born of ignorance and the parent of anger and hate. And that was Eddie Albert. We've got to address and manage our fears more candidly and forcefully, heeding the advice of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt in his 1933 inaugural address. Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. And that was FDR. And the article was by Robert Brake, who, as you would probably expect if you don't know him, has been a teacher virtually all of his life. And a little side note that Eddie Albert, who was quoted earlier, the movie actor, joined the Coast Guard during World War II and took U.S. Marines and soldiers onto contested beaches as crew of assault landing craft. And I think he got a couple of medals for that. Dr. Brake provides a glaring illumination of how we carelessly, even negligently, have slipped into the current precipitous prologue to tyranny and despotism. The ugly reality behind Donald Trump's egregious endeavor to end American democracy in favor of an alt-fascist Trumpocracy is as preposterous as his delusional pomposity. And now, something I wrote. Free Range Radio Pacific. Free Range Radio KMUN is at the end of the Oregon Trail. Like the ancestors whose hard wagon wheels rutted the virgin plains and fertilized them with their dead, KMUN is a pioneer in open range free speech radio, striving for survival at the mouth of the Columbia River and the virulent junction of truth and untruth. Priggish critics often pillory such progressive populist media for abandoning the mainstream to preach to its own presumed choir. Although the target is worthy of severe criticism, it must also extend to fake populist media that rouse fascist intolerance in the toxic retrogression of hate, bigotry, and ignorance that spews from the aptly named White House. It might seem somewhat myopic to express that only mainstream approaches to problems that affect all of society should be considered. The common ground is certainly a forum at which extremes meet and attempt consensus, although that is becoming increasingly unlikely, like the definitions of populism, whether left or right. But the more specific audience should not be ignored. It is just such esoteric media, left or right, shrill or reasonable, a stream, a prevaricated fakery, or a reliable source of truth, which keep the self-styled mainstream media on something resembling veracity and not totally blown about by its commercial interests. Small potatoes public media such as KMUN and Portland's KBOO defy the usual momentum toward mega big, yet a significant trend in media traffic, prompted by logarithmic rhythmic robot radio, is paradoxically toward specific, or more ominously, specialized audiences. Mainstreaming more often seems to mean segmenting into selective user groups that become hermetically sealed by appropriate media. KMUN, though admittedly a communalist example of micromedia, is not necessarily custom-tailored, but instead off-the-rack radio that adheres to broad principles of community democracy and equality. Controversy, flirtation with original ideas, or experimental broadcasting is generally anathema to corporate mega media, which consolidates immense efforts to hype the salacious, mendacious, and indigestible. Commercial media exists to make money. Micromedia is always looking for a buck to broadcast or publish. KMUN, voluntarily staffed and funded, might be considered a forum for impractical, perhaps aboriginal, hopes for a less painful future than prophesized and made real by old grim myths, and acts as a torchbearer for ancient concepts of personal freedom and benign interdependence, historically only an improbable dream, but humanity's most persistent dream. Even within this coastal splinter of sand between ocean and mountains, there are several diverse communities of ideas and attitudes. Although we are primarily white, as Oregon originally intended to be in its first state constitution, one community listens to the likes of Rush Limbaugh and Lars Larson, who are available on local commercial radio stations. Public media is a community resource intended to print or broadcast a wide variety of political, cultural, aesthetic, and even religious and irreligious views that commercial media usually ignores or exploits in its single-minded quest for profit, which Rush and Lars seem to fit into. Public media fills a void purposely disdained by commercial and corporate media. The dark era of intolerance, corruption, and domestic tyranny that has been dropped over us like a smothering shroud makes public media an absolute necessity for the defense of democracy. The siege is not simply to eliminate public media, but the First Amendment. And in little more than a year, despots all over the world have taken up the cudgel of despotism inspired by our anti-democratic president, who publicly disavows free speech and independent media. It seems now nearly impossible to remember pre-digital life. Technobabble grafts onto everyday conversations like recombinant DNA, producing strange fruits. Or a well-thought removal of words would erase memory. An absolute glut of techno-speak has the same result, except instead of eliminating memory, alters it beyond intelligible thought with its ever-rapid immensity of twaddle. We seem captured as well as cuckolded by our technophilia. Yet the mainframe of human life remains essentially as it has been for millennia, despite influxes of software. We have an ogre, a wicked Morlock of our subterranean terrors, who has emerged as a caricature of all the deceit and sewage that has characterized the worst of American politics from its origin. Its violence, virulent racism, and hatred of others. Its bullying and extremities of vileness and lurid dark fantasies of human irrationality that must be punished with various death penalties. And like a bad genie, he seems unable to be stuffed back into the bottle. We are, as a nation and as a people, at a cusp not too dissimilar from Germany in the early 1930s, in which a flimsy democracy collapsed into horror. So I ask, as I have before on this program, what is freedom? The right to not be recognized by gender, race, religion, or class, but by the simple fact of a person's existence on the planet. The right to be counted on and respected for personal and independent expression of belief or opinion. The right to be the only person on the planet who believes in something no one else does. Moses Ash, who founded Folkway Records on a shoestring and attempted to record every sound in the world, he famously said that the letter Q should not be banished from the alphabet simply because it is not used as much as the other letters and must always have U to lessen its harsh sound. Seldom made a buck or even a nickel in his 40 years, but the Smithsonian Institution has preserved his archives since his death. Ash realized long ago that the very small can grow and relatively prosper between the cracks and shadows of the mega big, like ferns on a forest floor. Mouses must roar after all and bite at the ankles of ponderous tyrannies if we are to keep our heads and humor. Micromedia, flamboyant, irreverent, raffish, and patched like a favorite Raggedy Ann doll, marches heroically into the 21st century and heated up third millennium. Today is the final day of KMUN's spring pledge drive. You know what to do. Pledge for the love of liberty. Pledge for the love of free speech. Pledge for the love of free Radio Pacific, KMUN. And now, as epilogue, my friend Jim Hansen has died at his home in Astoria at the age of 93. He was a marvelous and longtime music teacher for Astoria, Warrenton, and also, I believe, Seaside High Schools. He was, as a local obituary said, well-loved by former students whose careers in music he aided and abetted, and he had many close friends, of whom I have been one for more than 30 years. The obit also cited his World War II service in the Navy. He played trumpet in the Navy band and most likely was a stretcher bearer for wounded and dead aboard ships in the Pacific after Panama Canal duty. After the war, he played with jazz bands all over the country until he went back to college in his home state of Montana. The obit did not mention Jim was a proud, lifelong socialist and also an in-depth historian of lost causes, primarily leftist populist endeavors to throw off ancient chains of oppression. His mother, he also proudly claimed, was known as the Red Queen of Montana. And he loftily claimed to friends and foe alike, "I was born an atheist and a socialist, and I will die an atheist and socialist." And so he has. In tribute, I print a few flashes of Jim's insight and wit he shared with the North Coast Times Eagle in a few The People Shriek interviews during the early years of this century on the election of George W. Bush. I think the 2000 election is probably the greatest tragedy in American history. I think George Bush is the dumbest SOB to ever appear on the scene. The man has no awareness of the world we live in. I think he is microcephalic. It was a fraudulent election. I think the damage that will be done will be long-term. The magnitude of this folly is beyond calculation. If we keep doing things like this and putting idiots like Bush in office, democracy can't exist. On the re-election of George W. Bush. I think, yes, George Bush will be re-elected, followed by disaster. This won't be the first time the American people have been persuaded to vote against their own best interests. The American people are politically quite naive. With all the money the Bush people have and the control of communications, I don't see how they can lose. This is without question the worst government the United States has ever had. It has taken directions the government never has taken before. We have become the pariah on the planet. When the American media heralds Bush's new space program, the so-called Star Wars that originated with Ronald Reagan, not once has there been mention of his destruction of the United Nations plan to demilitarize space. After the re-election of George W. Bush, I think it's a tragedy of the first magnitude. I agree that there is great evidence the election was stolen. The priorities are all wrong. The problems are national and individual debt, the health system, and education. This clown is trying to destroy Social Security. The whole ethic of the country is destroyed. We argue about torture. My God, torture in my country? One of the great problems I feel is that everyone goes around with an egalitarian attitude and thinks every opinion is equal. But they usually talk off the top of their head, and their opinion is generally the last one they heard. And Jim's remarks about God. Those advocating under God should go to court and prove the existence of God. If it is proven, we can all sit around and pray and maybe burn one or two virgins at the stake. And if it is not proven, have done with all this nonsense. And Jim is, at any rate, finished with this terrestrial nonsense. This is Michael McCusker. And I finish this vernal program with a poem by the late Arthur Honeyman, who died 10 years ago in 2008. Spring rain in Oregon. Usually an Oregon rain is just mist that softly moistens the landscape and abundantly produces flora and other types of vegetation. But this deluge on a March day is stinking muck-sucking stuff, which both combats the drought of last year and prepares the way for the annual vernal rebirth by eroding rivulated canals down into the muddy, fertile terrain so that microbiotic creatures can squirm their ways and etch tracks through suburbia, helping to add humus to the murky foundations for plant life to feed from while simultaneously and symbiotically reaping the benefits of oxygen provided by herbomorphic entities, for water is more than a drink or thirst-quenching liquid, and all aspects of it help shape this imperfect spheroidal planet, both above and below its surface, more exquisitely than Michelangelo sculpted the elegant body of David or the bemuscled torso of a macho godhead angrily pointing Adam and Eve out of paradise forever, as well as much more, for this sparkling, bubbling fluid runs deep in terrestrial existence, recycled from vapor to water to ice, and that is rain for you, even Oregon rain. And he wrote that in March 1987. Pledge, pledge, pledge.